Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I ask that you call my voice and that you speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cheap grace. That's what the late German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer used in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Cheap grace. Is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ? Cheap grace is claiming the benefits of Christianity without addressing the cost involved. It is addressing Jesus as Savior without recognizing Him as Lord. I'm going to say that last sentence again. It is addressing Jesus as Savior without recognizing Him as Lord. Now, I am in no way implying that a person has to earn God's grace in order for their sins to be forgiven. What I will emphasize over the next few minutes or so is that salvation is by grace alone through faith alone. But it is much more than mouthing the words, Jesus is my Savior, professing one's faith since they were a small child, praying the sinner's prayer, signing a card, or walking down an aisle. We are saved by a living and active faith. Listen to James 2:14-26. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish men, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Let me say it again. We are saved by a living and active faith, a faith that manifests itself in repentance, obedience of God, and our neighbor. Salvation is more than a transaction. It is a transformation. I'm going to repeat that again. Salvation is more than a transaction. It is a transformation. Listen to what Paul states in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Now, I'm not really a game board person or a person who enjoys playing cards or video games. If I play a game, I want it to be active. You know, I want to play bocce ball or badminton or something where I can move around. Now, I want you all to think back to your childhood, and there was probably a lot of games that you played in which you really required very few things, if anything. One of my favorite games was playing freeze tag. We would get a whole neighborhood of kids, and in the late 50s and early 60s, our neighborhood was full of kids. And we would play freeze tag. Now, in freeze tag, basically one person is it, and they have to go and tag a person. And whatever position the person's in when they get tagged, they have to freeze. other people playing the game can go and touch a person and unfreeze them. So the person who was it usually ended up kind of guarding his frozen people. Now, many Reformed Christians had the same notion about grace. God tags us to unfreeze us from sin through his grace. And then we go on our ways and ignore the biblical truth that grace instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires as we live sensibly, righteously, and godly lives. Titus 2, 11 through 12 reveals, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." We think of grace as that tag that frees us from all moral demands. But God does have a right to command us to love him and others, as well as go make disciples and teach them all that his word has taught us, if we wish to address him as Savior and Lord of our lives. It's more than a transaction. It's about transformation. A new year is almost upon us. It is time to renew our minds about the giving of our treasure, time, and talents to the Lord. Let's look at Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, for the truth about how we need to respond to stewardship of the resources that God has entrusted to us in order to bring him the greatest amount of glory. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. And also the one with the 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the man who received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So, take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing." The first truth that we pull from this story is the resources that God entrusts us with are not ours, but his. The second truth is that we are each gifted in different ways, and God realizes that we have different abilities. God entrusts us with the time, talents, and treasures that he has loaned us in different measures. The third truth is that if we release ownership of the resources that God has entrusted to us, they cause us to be active and productive. The fourth truth, God will settle his accounts with each of us. It is freeing to know that he doesn't expect each one of us to be Martha Stewart, Billy Graham, or Mark Zuckerberg. But God does expect us to develop and utilize our gifts to the fullest means in order to bring him honor and glory. The fifth truth, God expects us to share in his joy when we use our time, talents, and treasures wisely, and we will be rewarded for doing so. If we have no heart for the work of the kingdom, we show that we are unfaithful and will be punished. Martin Luther once said, "I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." So, brothers and sisters, what will the year 2015 bring? Our everyday early morning prayers for each of us and our church should be that the year 2015 will be full of one extravagant grace, brimming with discipleship, the message of the cross, and introducing others to Jesus Christ. 2, always recognizing Jesus as Lord and Savior. And 3, radical transformation, individually, collectively, and spilling out into our world. 4, we have so much.